Yeah, appreciate that message this morning. I think what we've heard has been said exceptionally well, but I want to just emphasize something else. The main point. Not only, you know, sometimes when a preacher preaches something, it's hard to receive. And so the admonition is to endure, you know, to receive it and lay it to heart. You know, sometimes preaching steps on toes. And that's not a time to turn over to the 23rd Psalm and find something comforting. It's a time to listen, lay it to heart, let the Spirit work in us, let it work its perfect work, so that we can apply those things to life. But if you're not reading the scriptures, if you're not listening to preaching, if you're not getting the word in you, you don't know what that doctrine is that needs to be endured. Okay? So I appreciate the message this morning, and I really pray that we can lay it to heart, because this weekend we've heard some things that really, I mean, it just, to use an expression of the day, it hit the nail on the head of what we as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, where our focus needs to be. There's so many things that's crowded. You know, the church, when the Lord is pleased, when the Lord is blessing, there's power. And it's the power that comes from Him, not anything we can manufacture. It comes from Him. But it has to be pleasing to Him for Him to bless it and provide it. He's not going to bless something He's not pleased with, guaranteed. And so if we wonder why the church doesn't have the power that it used to, I know that's a simplistic view. There's a lot of things that enter in. But the solution is the same. Focusing our heart and our activities and our energies on putting God first. Putting Christ first in our life. Loving God and loving one another. That's what it boils down to, isn't it? All right? I want to go back to where Elder Ivy was this weekend, because mysteriously to me, there was a word that he just passed right over and didn't say anything about. Now, it was a powerful, powerful message. And I'm not criticizing him in the least. And I by the way, and I'm as serious about this as a heart attack. I want everybody in this church to listen to that message again that was preached yesterday morning by Elder Michael Ivey, pastor of Unity Church, Moss Point, Mississippi. Oh, what was yesterday? The 8th? October 8th? Is that right? 7th. 7th, that's right, today's. All right, October 7th, 2023. For anybody that might be listening to this later, I want them to know. Because you can go to our, hopefully, in a day or two, you can go to our website. And you can listen to it from our website, or you can go as long as Facebook keeps it on our page, which I tell it never to delete. But you know how that goes. Facebook does what they want to. So I encourage you, and if you want a copy, there's a CD back there. And you could listen to it anytime, any way you want to. But I encourage everybody in this church, I hope that you were praying like I was, that the Lord would bless Elder Ivy with the messages that we need to hear. And the Lord blessed abundantly. So if we care about hearing what God had for us to hear, I thank you for those that were here. There's a whole lot more that weren't. But we all need to hear it. And we need to take heed to it. Lay it to heart, all right? He was in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let me read a few verses. He concentrated on verse 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he concentrated on verse 3. But let me just read those first five verses. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Not power and demonstration of the Spirit, as we hear it so many times. It's not volume. It's whether or not the Spirit's blessing it. That's where the power is, in the Spirit. It can be softly spoken, but if God is blessing it, it can be in power. Right. Demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Why? That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. When Elder Ivy began preaching verse 3, it says, "And I was with you in weakness and in fear." And he dwelt a lot on that fear. But he didn't even comment on the weakness. The weakness. Now, this may seem like an unimportant thing, but when you stop and think about it, it's very important. Of course, all of God's word is important, okay, and it's precise. This is God's word. It's not men's interpretation of God's word. It's God's word. How needful is it for us to be in weakness? Now, this is Paul giving his position and how he approached the church at Corinth. As you heard from Elder Ivy, and as you've heard either from myself or many others, the church at Corinth had a lot of problems. But they were God's people. And what did they need? They needed the Word of God. And they needed to endure sound doctrine. That's the way to correct the problems. Okay? So, weakness. Paul said, I came to you in weakness. Now, let me give you a little sideline lesson here. For a man to stand in the pulpit or to minister among God's people, and if he just shakes his finger and speaks, you've got to do this, and you've got to do that, and, you know, that's hard to receive, isn't it? Okay? And Paul taught the Galatian brethren. Over in Galatians chapter 6, he says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault..." All right, so there's a problem here. "If a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual..." If we're going to help somebody with a problem, you've got to have a spiritual mind. You've got to have the mind of Christ. You've got to have love in your heart and a desire for a correction so that that problem can be resolved. But if you if you just come at them saying, "You've got to do this, you've got to do this, or else," you're not going to get very far. God tells us how we're to deal with one another. "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual," okay, "restore such an one in the spirit of" what? "Meekness. Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." All right? I've got problems. You've got problems. So we need to consider ourselves and realize that we all come short somehow or another. We've all got our problems. And so we need to remember that. As I'm trying to admonish someone else, I have to remember I'm a sinner too. And so it's our how we approach that. If we approach someone humbly. And so Paul recognized there was a lot of problems. He pointed out a lot of problems, but he didn't come just demanding that they make changes. He came to them in the spirit of meekness. He came to them in, and this word, by the way, this weakness here, not exactly what you might expect, but it makes perfect sense when you understand what he's talking about here. He's not just saying that he wasn't capable of ministering to them. That wasn't the weakness. The weakness is the thought is also presented over in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Paul's second letter to this church after they had corrected some of those problems. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Paul said, "Now Paul myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ." Hear that? By the meekness and gentleness of Christ. By the way, that's how we need to deal with one another. Okay? That's how we need to interact with one another. By the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you. Here's where we get to the similarity between the weakness. Paul says, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you. In his presence, he said he was base among them. Listen to that word means humble and lowly. That word means when we remember the sinner that we are before a thrice holy God, we don't have anything to boast of. We don't have anything to put our thumbs and our lapels about and say, now you need to get your house in order because I have it. You know, that's the Pharisaical attitude. We don't want to approach things like that. We need to remember who we are before our God. We also are sinners. We also need the strength of God. And so, and that's the point here. When we understand our position before God, who are we to stand before God? I need to be bowed down on my face before God. Even the highest order angels are to bow before God. Because God is holy, 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 and I am not. And so when we think about our position before God, when we think about who we are, when we're in our place, if you will, and realize, and that's the way Paul came to them as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was not there to give his opinion. God, Paul was not there to try to insist upon what he said. He was there to minister the word of God as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And elsewhere he called himself an ambassador for Christ. And if you know what an ambassador is, he's one that is appointed. All right, a preacher's called. So this ambassador is appointed by the powers that be, and he's to deliver and he's to speak according to the will of the person that appointed them. He's not at liberty to give his own opinion. He's only there to give the official position of the one in authority. Okay? And that's when Paul said, I'm an ambassador, or he said, we are ambassadors for Christ. In other words, we're not at liberty to take the word of God and say, well, you know, I think it ought to be applied this way. I think we can leave this part off. I think we can do a better job of things if we just do it our way. No, we're not at liberty to do that. We are to take the word of God, endure, and you've already heard it this morning, we are to endure sound doctrine. Where are you going to find it? Right here. Right here, God's word, all right? He's given it to us. All scripture given by inspiration is profitable for doctrine, for proof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished. We've got everything we need in the way of instruction to live this life to his glory. All right? So Paul is speaking of how he was humble and lowly. When he speaks about weakness here, he's talking about being humble and lowly and base. But he has the authority to speak God's word. And we don't have to apologize for any of it. And we're living in a culture today that wants to reject half of the word of God. They probably would reject the whole thing. They'd rather have somebody's philosophy than the word of God, because there's so many people in the world today, they don't want to be told what they should do. They want to be their own choice. You know, they want to make their own choices. They want to be their own God. They don't want this word. Bless your hearts, when we see what we are before God, that we have this old nature about us, that it's not getting any better. No matter how much we serve the Lord, this old nature is still there. That flesh is going to pop out. And so we have to deny ourselves, right? We have to endure. We have to continue to press into the kingdom. So when Paul spoke about being among them in weakness, he was talking about how that he remembered what he is before God, and that he humbled himself before God, but he spoke in boldness God's message. All right? So when we think about what he's saying here, he was base among them. So we remember our need. And all of this, what we said, all of this should constantly remind us of our need for God's power. Our weakness, but his power. Our humility, but he can exalt us. Okay? So when we think about how Paul approached the ministry and how he was preaching and how he admonished them, he said, I've determined, by the way, we heard that, right? He was determined. And we need to be determined in enduring sound doctrine. We need to be determined in not knowing anything among others but Jesus Christ and him crucified. Right. Whatever we do, it needs to be something that is in agreement with the reason that Christ came into this world and suffered and died for our sins. If anything we're doing is contrary to God's love for us, we need to leave it off. We need to think about it. That's why we have to examine ourselves and see, you know, what we're doing. Is it pleasing to the Lord? Is it something that's going to help me to walk with God? If it's going to hinder us from serving the Lord, you better think long about that. Because that's something you need to leave off. The power that we need to endure sound doctrine, the power we need to make the right decisions, the power we need to endure the tribulations of life, we need the closeness and fellowship and instruction of God and his Holy Spirit. And we can have it if we approach him on his terms. He's pleased to give us the kingdom, right? Fear not, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And if he's going to give us the kingdom, we can enjoy the blessings of it. And if it's a kingdom, this kingdom has a king. And not only is he a king, he is King of kings and Lord of lords, and he has all power both in heaven and in earth, and he can help you in whatever problem you have. Amen. He can. And we need to depend upon him for that. Okay? All right, so we think about what he's saying. All right? So this is chapter 2, very early in the letter. Paul was inspired to write to the church at Corinth. They had a lot of problems, But it was instruction that would help them to overcome those problems, to help them resolve those problems. And what would be the result? They would be a church that would be more glorifying to the Lord. They would be more blessed by Him. There would be more power being manifested in that local assembly because they were obedient to the Word of God. And they were focused on serving the Lord. That's where our power is. Okay? Now I'm talking about power to live our lives. Power to have that joy. Power to be at peace. Power to accomplish what we need to do to the glory of God and be a good influence over our families and our friends and in the community. Okay? We need that, don't we? All right? So Paul said that he was base among them. So what you've got, Brother Ivy used a word yesterday, conjointly. Remember that? Conjointly. See, if we're not walking according to the Word of God, all you've got is your intellect and your strength. Because you're trying to do it on your own. And there's so many people that wants to do it on their own. Oh, they sing that song, "I did it my way." Yeah. And glory in it. I'm going to tell you something. God would have it to do it His way. All right? So when we're doing things His way, what happens? If we're in agreement with God, if we've got His Spirit within us, then not only do we have His Spirit within us working for us, but we have His Spirit blessing us and bringing the power that we need so that, look what's happening. This is something supernatural. It's not of the flesh. It's not a natural thing. It's supernatural because God is working in you and He's sending His Holy Spirit to work for you, and they're doing it at the same time. And not only are they just doing it at the same time, they are working together in it. So you've got not only the Spirit of God in you, you know, Philippians 2 verse 13, is it? Where it says, "For it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." And when we do His good pleasure, when we actually deny ourselves and do according to His good pleasure, we have the power of the Spirit working with us. Amen. And it's greater, okay? Now, He gives us the Spirit so that it helps us to make those decisions and walk in the right way and do those things which are pleasing unto Him. But when we obey Him and when we obey the Word of God, bless your hearts, we have the Spirit with us, working for us. And what does Romans 8 tell us? If God be for us, who can be against us? Now, yes. Some of the saints of old have been martyred because they were faithful to God. What if we were faced with something like that? What if we were faced with a government that turned away from the Constitution that now protects us, and we had a form of government that would punish us for worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ? Is it time to learn a new religion? No, it's time to be faithful to God. And if we happen to have our lives snuffed out, like Brother Kenneth mentioned earlier, if we met opposition to the point that we were slain for our faithfulness, well, guess what? Did they win? We awake in the presence of the Lord. We can't lose. We would immediately be in the presence of the Lord. You know, that should cause you to be a little more bold. To be faithful to God in whatever we're facing. Now, that's not the case right now. We enjoy those liberties right now. But having such enjoyment and having such ease to worship the Lord, we have to watch out, or this old flesh will choose to do things other than worshiping God. Okay? All right, so Paul was there in weakness. All right? Well, if you're there in weakness, and I got to hasten on with this. If you're there in weakness, by the way, before I get to that. So having that in mind, that we approach life realizing our great need, realizing we're weak, but God is all-powerful. And so the degree to which we recognize our need for the Lord will be the degree to which we call upon Him and ask Him for help. If we're full of ourselves and think we can handle life, guess what? There's no room left for the strength of the Lord. But if we realize our need, if we realize the perils that we face each day, if we realize we truly, sincerely, absolutely, and powerfully need the Lord, and He's there for us, and He's got all the power we need. But my point in bringing that in is that He's already given us what we need for our strength. He's given us His Son. He didn't ask you. He gave. He that spared not His own Son. Romans chapter 8. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? That is, all things that we need to handle life. Okay? Because He would have us to be joyful. He would have us to be living at peace. And His Word teaches us, and by the way, that's something else He's given us, is His Word. And it's powerful to help us. It's a thorough furnisher unto all good works. So He's given us His Son because we know, or that we're blessed to know, that ultimately, no matter what happens to us in this life, we're safe in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll be with Him in glory. Glory will not have an end. And none of the problems we had in this life will follow us to heaven. While I have a short list of what I think heaven will be like, there's a long list of things that I know will not be in heaven. And that causes me to be shouting happy. To all the things that are a trouble and a problem and a heartache and sorrow to us in this life, none of it will be in heaven. So, He's given us His Son who saved us from our sins. He saved us from hell. He delivered us so that we will be with Him in glory. He's given us His Spirit. So, you know, because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. But He's given us His Spirit, and someday He's going to come back. He's going to raise us and fashion us like unto His glorious body and take us home. So none of the frailties and the corruption of this flesh will be in heaven. He's given us His Son. He's given us His Spirit. And when He gives us His Spirit, He gives us new eyes and new ears. That we have the spiritual faculties to hear the Word of God and to respond to the Word of God and to love the Word of God. He's given us that already. And if we make use of those things, you know, what is it? 1 Timothy chapter 4, I believe it's verse 8, where Paul said, bodily exercise profiteth little. In other words, it's good for you, but it's good for a little while. You leave it off, you're not going to have the benefit anymore. Bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. So you want more of the promise of life and the joy of life now? It's found in godliness. God blesses our efforts to live godly lives. Okay? So we have His Son. We have His Spirit. He's given us prayer. We have access to talk to God, who is holy, holy, holy. We're not. But we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. There's one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. And he's seated at the right hand of the Father right now to make intercession for us. We who are not holy, as we pray unto him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ receives our prayers and pleads our case before the Father as our advocate. Because he paid our sin debt. He put away our sins. We have his righteousness, all right? Now, when I say that we're not holy, we have his spirit, but we also still have the flesh. And that flesh bothers us and will continue to bother us as long as we live. All right? So as the Son intercedes for us at the right hand of the Father, then he hears our prayers. He's given us the church. What a glorious blessing it is that we have a refuge from this world, that we can come together, like-minded body of believers, that we can rejoice in God, we can praise and worship his holy name, we can hear from his word, we can be encouraged one from another, we can feel that love flowing one to another. It strengthens us. When we maintain that attitude and the mindset that we are weak before God, but he is mighty, and he will give us the strength we need for the trials of life. If we're lifted up in ourselves, we're not going to be blessed, but will we humbly seek his face and his will? He hears us, he helps us, and we are strengthened by him. And so all of this, I've run out of time here, but all of this leads us to, if you go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, when Paul very early in 1 Corinthians talks about how he came to them in weakness, you'll find the source of the strength that he needed when he talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he had a thorn in the flesh, and he begged the Lord three times for that thorn to be removed. Remember that? Right. And what did God tell him? Now, listen, this is the eminent apostle Paul begging God. Surely God would hear the eminent, the apostle Paul. Well, if it pleased God, he would. Just like he would hear you. But God had a reason for that thorn to be in Paul. Now, I believe that he didn't tell us exactly what that thorn was, so it could apply to whatever your thorn might be. We all have limitations. We all have temptations. We all have problems. Your problem might be different from mine, okay? But we all have one. At least one. And so God didn't tell us exactly what that was. And so it's probably not needful. Well, I'll take that back. It is not needful for us to know exactly what that thorn was. And I've heard people spend a whole lot of energy. I've got my opinion. I think I've shared my opinion with you. All right? If you want to know it, I'll talk to you later about it. But Paul had a thorn, and he begged God three times to remove it. And God said, no. And when you understand what's being said, you'll find out that God is saying, I have a reason for that thorn to stay there. Because he tells us that it was a messenger of Satan to buffet him, lest he should be exalted above measure, not weak, not base, not humble, but lest he should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations. In other words, he'd get lifted up in pride because he knew so much. But what did God tell him? My grace is sufficient, is sufficient, is sufficient. Got it? What does that mean? It's more than enough. He's able. You got a problem? Take it to the Lord. Humbly, sincerely, and beg him for help. He'll give it to you. He may not remove the thorn, but he'll give you what you need to deal with it. Every time. For as long as you need it. Because someday, he's coming back. And he's going to gather up all for whom he died. And take us home. And there'll never be a thorn. There'll never be another bad diagnosis. There'll never be another doctor's appointment. There'll never be another disappointment. There'll never be another sorrow. There'll never be another tear or heartache or crying. But all will be joy forevermore. We look forward to that, don't we? But I'm going to tell you something. You've got all the help you need to deal with what life throws at you right now. That's why Jesus told us, my grace. What does he mean by that? He gives us what we don't deserve. That's what grace is. I don't deserve it. I understand. I've got my limitations. I've got my weaknesses. I've got my problems. But I come to the Lord begging for his mercy and for his help. And he gives grace, his unmerited favor. That's what he gives. He giveth, James says, he giveth more grace. Aren't you thankful for that? We can go to him as many times as we need. We can go to him with all the problems we have. Whatever the case might be, it's not too big for God. And let me tell you this, it's not too little for him either. He'll help us in whatever the need might be. You believe that today? Amen. Thank you. Because it's the truth. It's how good God is. And the more we understand about these doctrines, the more we understand about his promises, the more we understand about his word, the better equipped we are, because he's given it to us. And the better equipped we are to face life and not just to exist. What did Jesus say about that? I came that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And I'm persuaded that the more abundant life is for right now until he comes again. We can't improve. We cannot improve on what we're going to have in glory. The glory of that place, the enjoyment of it, the unendingness of it. You won't ever improve upon that. But you can sure improve this life. You can sure improve the blessings, the peace, and the joy that you experience in this life. And he's told us in his word how we can accomplish that. And he's promised he'll send his comforter to lead us into all truth. So that's a promise. And he said, he that cometh to God, Hebrews 11:6, without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And if there's a reward in diligently seeking him, you can rest assured it's in finding him. And finding the answers to what we need. Finding the instruction to help us in our problems so that we can go forward in light to his glory. That's what we need, not just to exist, but to live to the glory of God. Oh, my heart yearns for God's people to be living to the glory of our great God and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If all of God's people were living like that, this world, this nation, and this world would be vastly different. Problem is, God's people are not focused upon the Lord Jesus Christ and him being crucified. They're not trusting him for the power that they need. They're seeking all kinds of other sources for their help instead of focusing upon the Lord Jesus Christ. May God help us to remember. Paul approached ministry, and that's an example for all of us. Even though we may not be called to preach the gospel, we're called to live it. We're called to be a help to anybody else. We can minister to others. And so Paul said he came to them in weakness, in baseness, humility, considering himself, trusting, and as Brother Kenneth closed out, trusting and depending upon the power of God. There's where your strength is. And he's pleased to give it when we come to him in the right way. I pray these things will sink down in your ears, find a lodging place in your heart, and bring forth much fruit to his glory in the days ahead. May God bless you, is our prayer.